beginning of the gardening season on the internet is the time when the gimmicks also arise and then everyone tries the gimmick. It's always at the beginning. So I'm going to forewarn you of what the gimmicks are so you don't spend your hard-earned money on them. If any of these have worked for you, great. I always say if something works for you, don't listen to me. Do whatever you were doing before. I'm just saying that theoretically, science says these are dumb. And these are in like no particular order of like gimmickiness. There's just five generic ones. The first one being rock dust. I'm getting so many comments on rock dust lately. I don't know if this is like the new trend for the year is rock dust, but do not use this. Rock dust is soil. Soil is rock dust. Mineral soil is rock dust, which is soil. It's all the same thing. Cause did you know what soil is? Soil is the bedrock of the earth that has been ground down within an inch of its life from torrential rivers that used to exist, massive lakes, glaciers pushing and grinding it against other rocks grinding against itself, wind, you name it. It's weathered rock. It's rock dust is what it is. Rock dust is basically glorified clay. Now, does different bedrocks and different rocks have different components, metals, off of the periodic table? Yes, of course. All of them are a little bit different. And so the claim of rock dust to have different stuff than what your soil has is valid on like a chemical surface level. Beyond that, no. Even if it did have, say, copper, one of the 17 essential nutrients, and you know your soil does not have copper, putting rock dust in is not going to solve that mineral deficiency at all, because microbes have to degrade rock. And rock, I don't know if you knew this, even in the tiny forms that we call soil, clay, sand, silt, is very difficult to degrade to get a plant to take up. So probably not going to solve your issue. What would solve your issue is like a micronutrient fertilizer. And even then I'd probably stay away from that because that can get a little bit dangerous. But rock dust, please, 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 please do not use it. The only time I'd be like, okay, fine. No, don't use it. Absolutely not. Do not do it. The next one is actually garden tools. Now, this is coming from a woman who has spent hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on tools only to use three. I shit you not. I use a hand trowel. I use a shovel, like an actual spaded shovel. And I use a pruner, a Fisker's pruner, really good quality pruner. I would use more often if I had more beds in which I could use it in the broad fork and or a pitchfork. Those ones I do like. I don't have the bed structure for that here, so I don't use them, but I do think that those would be valuable tools in the sense that if you were wanting to aerate your soil, great choice. Like those crazy clipper pruner with the knife on top. I don't use like these really cool weeder things. I don't like the little weeders, the big weeders. I have all of it. I own all of it. I have a whole shed full of it. Number three. Now this one is, it's self-watering beds. Now I have one here behind me and that one used to be outside and then I brought it in because I was like, it's kind of useless outdoors. And it's not because it's useless. No. The problem is that if you overplant it, or if you were to plant it at the rate you would just to plant a normal bed, and you're going under the presumption that the self-watering is going to take care of everything for the week and you can ignore it and not worry about it, you would be very wrong. That if you overplant a self-watering bed, or you fill the space as you would normally in a container, the actual volume of soil is less, and then the rest is water. And unless the self-watering bed is made in a way that allows for capillary action, meaning unless there's tubes or some sort of reservoir in which the perlite or the potting soil can go down that will allow the capillary to, you know, move up into those other spaces, the self-watering bed can be, you know, half full of water, but because of the space between the actual potting soil and the water level, the capillary action doesn't take place. So you not only do you have less water holding capacity in your soil, but you have a water reservoir that is virtually useless unless it's set up correctly. Now, are there self-watering stuff out there that works? Absolutely. I have a Water Ups kit in the front yard. I love that thing. I got it. Lee Valley is where I got that from. And I adore that whole bed. It works wonders, but it is a big reservoir. It has tunneling through it to allow the perlite to go all the way to the bottom of that raised bed and then capillary action up. And it works very, very well. Number three is mycorrhizal fungi. I know you can leave if you want. I understand. Now, this is another one of those, I don't know. Does it work? Yes, it does work. Does it work to the extent it's been blown up to work? No, not so much. Take it from someone who used to work in biological soil microbiology world, making products. That's the most I can say because of NDAs. That mycorrhizal product you see is great with some plants. So myco is very specific. It's not one species, if you will. There's different critters in the myco world. And the big species that everyone has in their product, in just varying different levels, is only going to form a symbiosis with so many different species of plants. Now, is it pretty big? It's one of the biggest, yes, in forming symbiosis with plants, endo or ecto-wise, but there is plants out there where it doesn't work with. So do I think you should just willy-nilly apply mycorrhizal fungi? No, I don't think you should, you know, spend a ton of money on this. I don't think you should, you know, bet on it being the solution for your watering and your soil and your fertilizer needs. It has a time and place. If you're using it on shrubs, fruit trees, fruit bush, trees, yes. If you're using it on flowers, I'd probably skip it. If you're using it on like tomatoes and peppers, fine. If you till, if you grow in containers, any sort of bed where you just intend to like rip the plant out in the fall, I would skip it. Not that it doesn't work in those circumstances. It does. It's a lot of money in product to put onto something that isn't going to work long term, which is kind of the intended purpose of that product. You can get mycorrhizal potting soils. And if you wanted to go that route, that'd be the route that I'd be most comfortable with you spending your money on, only because it's not substantially more expensive. And it's not like a separate product that you're applying. And, you know, not that myco could expire because it's spores and those are like literally indestructible. Just keep in mind that if soil heats up too much, unless the fungi is heat resistant, it's probably dead in the bag. So if the bag is outside at the greenhouse, just basking in the sun, probably don't want to get that bag because there's probably not much left that's active inside of it. My last one. Now this one, I don't know. People are going to get upset about it, but there's nothing I can do about that. And that is soil enhancers. So there's a lot of products out there. I'm not going to name any in particular, but there are products that say this is blue algae something or phytoplankton da da da. And then you look at the packaging and there's no nutrient breakdown. There's no NPK. There's no micronutrient value. That is a great indication of a product that is a witch's brew, if you will. Now, if you have a soil enhancer, so phytoplankton, for example, and then there's a value like an NPK value, fine, that's now an organic fertilizer. But if you're utilizing a product that says soil enhancer or soil conditioner, so those soil enhancers I would skip. I'm not going to name names, but if someone in the geek crew named a name down below, I wouldn't correct them. Anyways, I want to thank you guys for watching. If you enjoyed, thumbs up, subscribe, and I will talk to you guys next time. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.